Good morning. I'm Natalie Hahn, and I'm so excited to be with you today just to talk about worship. And over the past couple weeks, we have been discussing the topic of worship as we move through this series. And I love worship. I've been in worship teams my whole life. A tambourine was thrust into my hands as a young child, and I am passing that tradition on to my children. So here they are in their little outfits, jamming on those tambourines, and I'm sure the neighbors love it. I even went to a university where around every corner was a guy with a guitar sitting under a tree singing some worship songs. So I really do love worship. But today we're going to be exploring another type of worship that might not be the first thing you think of when you actually think about worship. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as a community, Lord, to just explore more of your heart and to see what pleases you and what brings you joy. And we ask that you would start to shape our hearts and mold our minds to be more in tune with yours, Lord, and that our acts of worship would be pleasing to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So today we're going to talk about tithing and giving. And tithing and giving have been kind of seen as interchangeable phrases, but they do mean two very different things. Both are important and both are valued. But let's look at the first one. So let's look at tithing. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, back to Abraham, who was just given the word that Lot and all his belongings were taken by four kings after the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so after that, that night, he takes 318 trained men. He attacks Lot's captors and recovers Lot and all that he owned, as well as all the other captives. So where we're going to pick up the story is on his way back as he runs into Melchizedek, who me and my friends like to call Kizzy, which I might refer to him as that. But let's learn a little bit more about that story. So in Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, bought out bread and wine. And he was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered our enemies to your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." So here Melchizedek attributes Abram's, or I'll talk about him as Abraham because we're going to go into that area. So he attributes Abraham's victory to God. And that's why Melchizedek blesses him, because he sees it as a sign of God's provision and favor. And Abraham, he took on four kings. And the fact that he won could only be seen as because of God of heaven and earth who showed favor upon him. So why does Abraham give Melchizedek a tenth of his possessions? Well, because it was in gratitude to God's authority and blessing. What is amazing is that Abraham doesn't do it to invoke God's blessing, because at this point, Abraham had already received the blessing. He does it in response to God's blessing. And that's what makes this an act of worship. And what's really, really cool is that this not only sets up this new kind of worship experience, but it points to something greater in the Jewish tradition. See, kings traditionally came from one tribe and priests came from another. But Melchizedek, my boy Kizzy, was both king and priest. And this foreshadows the one who is to come. It points to tithing as a form of worship to Jesus, who would become the ultimate king priest. And here we see the establishment of a tithe. Tithing means tenth. It simply means to give a tenth of your portion to the Lord. Israelites also call this the first fruits. The idea being that God provided the harvest, and the first part, the tenth, was to be returned to him. What we have doesn't actually belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And we're giving back what belongs to him as just an act of gratitude. The tenth or the tithe is a reminder that everything we have is his, and the giving of our tithe shows the thankfulness. And even though the law was 10%, so after this, it became a law to give 10% of what you had to the Lord. But it went so much further. See, Israelites, and then later on the entire Jewish nation, or Jews throughout history, gave so much more than 10%. Actually, what they ended up giving more often than not was 23%. And in the New Testament, it didn't stop at 23%. Some people gave everything. We see countless stories of disciples, apostles, women who had nothing but two talents giving everything they had out of gratitude, as an act of obedience, and as a show of their faithfulness. And the tenth is more than just a percentage. The tenth became regarded as God, by God, as holy. In Leviticus 27:30, it says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." God regarded the tithe as holy. And there wasn't a distinction between good and bad. It was about giving God the tenth, and it was Him who made it holy, out of our intention and act of obedience. And later on in Leviticus, he talks about, the verses talk about how to count the tenth. For example, the sheep, it would be, the sheep would go under the staff, and every tenth sheep that went under the staff would be the one that was considered holy. It was just about setting aside something for the Lord, and the Lord was the one who blessed it and made it holy. And here we learn about tithing as an act of worship, about giving God the thing that has been set aside for Him, intentionally setting something aside for the Lord and presenting it in front of Him. In Deuteronomy 12:5-6, here we see that difference between tithes and offerings. "But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. That place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks." So tithes are the 10% that belongs to the Lord, our first fruits. And then freewill offerings are things that simply come from our heart. And the Bible has lots of examples of people who give freewill offerings, but one of my favorite ones is in Exodus 36:3-7. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had bought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing. And they said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent word throughout the camp, "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more. That's crazy. Moses is building a tabernacle, and he asks the community for supplies to construct it. But how amazing is that? The response is so overwhelming that he has to tell them to stop. These people were joyfully giving. And I'm sure if they weren't excited to give, they wouldn't be taking the time to lug some giant piece of lumber down to the dig site, or they wouldn't be carrying these huge bolts of fabrics that I'm sure were expensive and difficult to make for these giant curtains that needed to be constructed. They wouldn't be putting in the physical labor and the monetary losses towards this project. But why did they do it? Because tithing and giving are not only acts of obedience, but they cultivate a spirit of generosity and help to mold a grateful heart. And in my experience, once you start doing it, it becomes a habit. But more than a habit, it becomes a joy. And in that joy, we can truly worship the Lord. And this is a really practical way that we can show God's love to the community. Moses was building a tabernacle, something that would be used by the people in that town, in that space, in that community. And in Deuteronomy 14:29, the tithe is used to take care of widows, orphans, the poor, immigrants, and just people in need. And this past year, because of the pandemic, a lot of people found themselves in a position of need that maybe they've never been in before, or it was unexpected and not foreseen. And thankfully, our church was able to respond to that need. These were real people needing actual help, and we were able to be there, whether it was rent, food, medical bills, or just any kind of other need, we were able to be there and meet them and really take care of our community and show the heart of God to them. When I was younger, I was actually one of those people in need. So my family fell on really hard times, and we were definitely living in the thick of poverty. And I remember going on our way to church, and we had no food at home, and my dad's work situation was very complicated and difficult and hard. And we only had a total of $10. That was it. Nothing in the bank account, nothing hidden under a mattress, just these $10. And we stopped at this really tiny corner store that was kind of trying to be a Kentucky Fried Chicken ripoff that was called Kennedy Fried Chicken. But they kept using the KFC logo, which I don't think was okay, but they did it. So we stopped at the store that sold hot food, and my dad gave my mom the $10. And he said to her, "See what you can do with this." And my mom came back with 3 cheeseburgers, an order of fries, and a drink for $7. So we had $3 left. And my dad said, "Eat up, because I don't know when the next time will be that we'll be able to eat again." So we ate. But you know what? We had enough. We went to church, and the offering plate was being passed around, and my dad took out his $3, and he prayed over it. He prayed over it like it was $1 million. It didn't matter that it was $3. It was what he was going to give. And he could have not done it. He couldn't have been afraid. No one would have thought less of him if he didn't give those $3. People would have understood. But he did it. And my dad rejoiced. And he worshiped fervently. I remember that being one of the most powerful worship experiences. There was no fear in him. There was no doubt. There was no anxiety. He just worshiped freely. And it's funny because my brothers and I would often fight about who would put the money in the offering plate, because my parents had shown me the joy of giving. And even if they were giving their amount, they would always give us $1 or $2 to put in ourselves so that we would be part of that worship experience. So anyway, after church, someone walked up to my dad and he shook his hand and said, "The Lord told me to give this to you," and walked away. And in my dad's hand was $300. And we couldn't believe it. That next day, my dad decided to call his old boss. And as soon as he picked up the phone, his old boss said, "Where have you been? I've been looking for you everywhere. I need you." And hired my dad back on the spot. That week was the... So my dad's job, he was a truck driver that specialized in snow plowing. And just a couple days later was the blizzard of 96. So we didn't just get by. It was overflowing. We moved from a place that didn't have heat, that we had, our cupboards were empty, to in a really not great neighborhood, to moving to a home that had heat and air conditioning, and we never ever were in a situation of poverty again. From that day on, it was our turning point, and we've only seen blessings ever since. But even in that situation, we saw God's provision. Though we never had heat, we never got sick. Though we were close to having no food, we always ate. And just when we thought, you know, there was nothing left, God showed abundance. And our home, though it was maybe lacking in some areas, it was overflowing with joy and love. And that was immeasurable. And I remember the feeling that I got from being on the receiving end of someone's free will offering. But I also remember the years of obedience coupled with the worshipful act of tithing that my parents demonstrated. And that created a baseline of me, for me, of faithfully tithing, and looking for opportunities to bless others even when it was difficult. I remember a time in my life where my friends and I would just go back and forth slipping money under each other's doors in secret. I mean, but we always knew who it was, but we're like, we're doing it anonymously. But it would just go back and forth because 1 week we would be the one in need and the next week we were the one in abundance. And so we just continued the cycle of blessing each other. And sometimes it isn't money. Sometimes it's a safe place to stay, a warm bed to sleep in, a ride to work, a car to lend, a sandwich to give. But I believe the Lord took care of our family because of our faithfulness. And going back to Abraham, I don't think it's a coincidence that right after Abraham gave his tenth, God made a covenant with him to make his offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham, who didn't give expecting a blessing, gave because God's love was the blessing. In Spanish, we call the word we use for tithing is called ofrenda, which just simply means offering. His offering was born out of a grateful heart, and so was my family's. Before we end today, I want to just think about, are we tithing with a grateful heart, or are we tithing at all? Is our tithing simply an act of obedience, or does it extend further? Are we giving as gratitude for who the Lord is and what he has done? What is God calling us to offer out of gratitude? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us very clearly where you want our money to go, what we're supposed to do with what is to be returned to you. I ask that you would make us a community that gives so passionately and so abundantly that we're asked to stop because it's too much. I ask that you would make us a community that has too much and that we're not a people of never enough. Lord, I also ask you to open our eyes to see your provision and your blessing. Would you start to mold our hearts, Lord? Would you make us a people inclined to gifts and blessings? And that we would do it, Lord, with joy and hearts overflowing in worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.